Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and the new 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you, taking you through a Thursday afternoon. And while we're still kind of in the heart of baseball season, football has kind of taken center stage in most cases, and today certainly no different, with the Browns playing their first preseason game tonight. The Ohio State Buckeyes are just a few weeks away from playing their 2019 lid lifter. They got camp going a little bit over a week ago now. And here to talk about the Buckeyes and much more, we've got Sean Dunnigan with WBNS-TV in Columbus joining us. Dunny, a pleasure as always, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing up there in Northeast Ohio?
So far, so good. Things are going well. The sun's out. Let's hope it stays out. And now that we are a few days into camp, almost a full week into it at this point, what are some of your major takeaways based on what you've seen and heard from camp so far?
The major takeaway was something that, at least for me, is that the defense has been playing a lot better and going to the ball a lot quicker than they were last year. That's something that I've taken away just from talking to some of the defensive players and from hearing from Coach Day. It just seems like the scheme is a lot better. It fits the team a lot better. And you're talking about eight starters returning from last year's defense that gave up the longest run and longest pass in Ohio State history. So, you know, for that to happen, I think that, you know, that only points to good things. On the offensive side of the ball, the biggest concern for me isn't the fact that there's no starting quarterback. There's no backup running back. You know, obviously, J.K. Dobbins is your starting tailback. But after him, it's probably a 2-3-way battle between DeMario McCall, between Steel Chambers, Master Teague, and maybe a couple others. So that's the big concern, is they need somebody they can trust that can back up J.K. Dobbins, that can give him a breather, that can hold on to the ball, that can make good decisions. So those are my two main takeaways from this first week.
I want to focus on the backfield offensively for the Buckeyes, and that's primarily what we're going to do today. You hit on a couple of topics I certainly want to revisit. Let's begin with quarterback. I mean, I think we all know at this point, Justin Fields, all eyes on him because of all that went on in the offseason. What has stood out about Fields so far to you in camp?
From a little bit that we've seen, it's just, you know, what he's been able to do in the, 6 months that he's been a Buckeye. It seems like he's grasping the playbook well. He has a good arm. He can run. That was the one thing that, if Buckeye fans, if you are a little nervous like I was after the spring game about what this guy can bring as far as his arm, don't worry about that. His legs will be, I think, the more impressive thing that we'll see. He'll still be able to get the ball out to the wide receivers, but I think Justin's running ability and be able to run the run pass option well, that will definitely be a big component in the offense this year.
Now, taking a look at the other guys in the backfield with him, is there really anybody that has kind of stood out that's, I guess, not officially listed behind him on the depth chart, but the guys who are competing with him in camp?
Technically, he is still he's not the starting quarterback yet. He's still in a battle with Gunnar Hoke, transfer quarterback from Kentucky, who went to high school down here at Dublin Kaufman, and also Chris Chuganoff, who transferred in from West Virginia. So, and that he transferred in midway through last season. So you're talking about three transfers that haven't even been part of the program for a year, let alone Gunnar Hoke, who's been part of the program since after the spring game. So it's really interesting to see how that quarterback room is coming together. From the first two practices that we've been able to see, and there hasn't been much team we've been able to watch, Justin Fields is far and beyond as the number one. He's taking all the number one snaps that we've seen, but they're just not announcing them. As far as the number two, Gunnar Hoke started off taking the number two, started off in line as the number two quarterback, but the last practice we saw, which was on Tuesday, Chris Chuganoff was actually second in line. That could be in many different reasons, but that's one of those things where you look at going, interesting. I was not expecting that.
Any concern at that position if something does happen to Fields? I mean, you mentioned a lot of these guys are transfers, and there's a lot of intrigue there, but I think there's also a little bit of concern there as a result.
There's going to be intrigue and all that when it comes to any backup quarterback. you know, the Cleveland Browns. If Baker Mayfield goes down, you have Drew Stanton as your backup. That doesn't concern you. You know, you're always going to have that concern as far as when, if the starting quarterback goes down. But I think right now Ohio State's going the way they need to go through it to find out who they can trust, just like you talked about with the running backs, who they can trust the most as being the backup. And I think right now it's between Chuganoff and with Gunnar Hoke.
Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Buckeyes not quite a week into camp, but they'll kick things into high gear 3 weeks from this coming Saturday. Dunny, how crowded is the backfield going to be? You've talked about J.K. Dobbins and, you know, some of the guys who are trying to compete with him for some carries. You threw some names out there earlier. Has anybody really kind of stood out outside of J.K. Dobbins?
No. And that's the concern, is the fact that nobody's really stood out. Master Teague has some decent runs every now and then. DeMario McCall is really the guy that should be there. But for whatever reason, he's got some issues with the coaching staff or something where they don't fully trust him with the ball yet and don't know what those are. Can't tell you because I don't know. But put it to this way. A lot of people in the media look at DeMario McCall and think he should be the number two guy. And for some reason, they're just not naming him that number two yet.
You mentioned him last year, and for all the obvious reasons up here, people are very interested to see what happens with him this year. Anytime there's at least a minor shift in coaching changes, you don't know what the plan for a particular student-athlete's going to be. I think last year when we talked about McCall, you mentioned that because of his athleticism, he's the kind of guy that they might use in a number of different ways. They were expecting him to be a big, big factor in the return game. Are some of those expectations still there? I mean, I know we're not quite a week into camp just yet, but do you think some of those expectations are still kind of there trying to find ways to use him?
Absolutely, and I think more so now because of his experience, because he's been able to get out there and flash glimpses of what he can do, and because he is an upperclassman. The fact that he can go out there and he's played on the big stage before, that all helps DeMario McCall. Now, can the coaches trust him enough to do it on a more regular basis? That's really the big question that I think he hopes to get answered in camp.
We'll get back to the return game in the next couple of weeks here, because I think Ohio State, every single year, love them or hate them, they do a great job of recruiting athletes and guys that can find ways to contribute in the return game. A lot of those guys end up being underclassmen, and that's where I'm going with the next question here. Are there any underclassmen that have really kind of stood out over the last few days?
Garrett Wilson continues to be a name that gets brought up by Justin Fields, by Ryan Day, that you just go, okay, this kid's going to be something good. A lot of people are expecting him to be, you know, the third leading receiver in catches this year for the Buckeyes, behind K.J. Hill and Chris Olave. He is that good where, at least right now, from the little bit we're able to see in camp, that there are a lot of big expectations in Garrett Wilson, a five-star kid coming in from Texas.
As far as changes in schemes and structure and things like that, anytime you retain a guy that was a part of the coaching staff from a year ago to be the head honcho, you don't expect many big changes. Is it safe to assume that with Ryan Day now? I mean, of course, he coached a few games last year, but do the schemes and the structure, for the most part, appear to be the same?
Yeah, everything that, you know, practice looks a lot the same. Everything kind of looks a lot the same when it comes to see how Ryan Day is running practice. Still huddling the team right after stretching, before everybody goes out to their individual drills and everything like that. So the same mantra, 4-6, A to B, plus two, power of the unit, the brotherhood. You know, you have all that, all the same stuff you had with Urban Meyer. It's just a younger guy with a brown, black beard instead of a gray beard coaching your team. So that's really no big differences when it comes to Ryan Day and Urban Meyer on the field right now from what we've been able to see.
Physicality and intensity, any of that stand out early on in camp?
No, because you're always going to have that the first couple weeks of camp. With them just getting shoulder pads on and pads on every now and then, you're always going to have that physicality because they want to hit people. That's football. As we always get reminded, football's not a contact sport, it's a collision sport. So they want to be able to to have pads popping and all that. But they're also they also know that you have to be careful with it. You don't want injuries. Knock on wood, there's been no injuries for the Buckeyes so far throughout the first week of camp. We'll see if that continues. But Ryan Day has said that, you know, coaches right now are trying to find that fine line between is there too much tackling or not enough tackling, because you still have to know how to tackle.
Now, I know the structure changes a little bit day by day, and I mean, they've only got so many sessions of two-a-days, or I guess whatever they call them these days. And how does that structure work? I know they don't always give you guys access to every single practice, but how are the next couple of weeks structured before they start getting on a normal game day schedule?
Don't know, because we don't know the schedule.
They haven't given you guys a schedule yet for practice?
No, they never do.
Wow. Okay.
No, this isn't the NFL. This isn't every practice is open and we can come in and watch practice for 2 hours and talk to people afterwards. The way a lot of colleges do it, including Ohio State, is we get access to 4 practices throughout the month of August. We get a position group every other day to talk to. That's it. That's all we get. So when I talk to you about seeing practices, like I said, we get access to 4 practices. So we've had 2 so far. We'll get another one on Saturday, and usually it's only for the first 30 minutes that includes stretching that we're able to see.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize they restricted it that much. It's interesting. So you're saying
and this is 2 more practices that we got from last year and the year before when Urban Meyer was there. So there's something a big difference with Urban Meyer and Ryan Day is the fact that, you know, we're getting 2 more practices. You go to other programs like Michigan. Michigan hasn't even acknowledged that they're practicing yet. So they don't even, a lot of places up there, if they want to try to cover Michigan football, they don't get access to any practices.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I did not realize that some programs were that restrictive, but that's interesting. Well, Dunny, we'll have a chance to break down some other units as we get closer to kickoff, and hard to believe, but we're about 3 weeks away from this coming Saturday, so it'll be upon us very, very quickly. As always, my friend, we appreciate the time, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Dunny. Again, Sean Dunnigan with WBNS-TV down in Columbus talking about the Ohio State Buckeyes, just about a week into training camp and about 3 weeks away from kicking off the 2019 season. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return with more after this on AM 930 WEOL and on the new 100.3 FM.